Man, it's good to be here today. And I am so glad that I get to be here this year. This is actually my first year to be here as the pastor emeritus. A lot of folks don't know what emeritus means, so I'm here to help you understand that word. Emeritus, when you look it up in the dictionary, there's a picture right beside it. It's my picture. And underneath that picture, it says, old guy hanging around. So that's what I'm doing right now at Bible Baptist Church in Chickasha. I am just hanging around. Pastor Steve Vellante doing a wonderful work there. In the 7 months that he has been pastor, he has led the church to increase from 5 deacons to 10 deacons. He has established deacon care, dividing up our about 540 members, active members that we have, and now the deacons are having their deacon care. I'm actually in a group for deacon care. I have a deacon over me, right? And these are it's so wonderful to see the things that we were able to do. And I look over and I see Brother Weaver, and I saw Brother Barber was here, but Brother Gillett's here. But we have a team here at Worth, and really a pattern for us at Bible Baptist. We look to that same pattern. How can men who pastored this church stay with the church and still be in a church pew and be accepted and used? And I'm telling you right now, in Chickasha, Oklahoma, I hope and pray that we can set another pattern of loving cooperation between a former pastor, Pastor Emeritus now, and a active pastor, Brother Steve Vellante. We want to do that. We have, and I'm going to tell you, the only way this works, the hearts have to be in tune with what God's will is. And when it's God's will, then the men that are here, Brother Barber, Brother Weaver, they acknowledge their pastor is Brother Gillett. And they serve and work under him. But he also has an advantage in ministry, is to draw from their experience. And the occasions, I would imagine, Brother Gillett, that you've utilized the pool of resource that God has allowed you to have to walk beside you. And in the case that I view, there wouldn't be a pastor, former pastor, that has it in their heart. They don't want to get in the way. That was my heart. It was the first time to ever do this, so after 37 years, I just knew that it was God's will for me to pass the baton, if you will. So just mentioning these things, I encourage any. It's a very unique situation. It doesn't happen everywhere. It can't. There are just some situations it won't work in that situation. I know. But if there are thoughts of any pastor for their future, and I got to tell you, I'm the most blessed man on this planet to have had the, and still continue to work in the church, work through the church, work for the church. And they're taking wonderful care of myself and my wife so that we can continue. No, I'm not the lead pastor. No, I'm not the senior pastor. Love that I can still do ministry in an obscure place called Chickasha, Oklahoma. You see, I just love that place. God's put that place in my heart. And the people that are there are in my heart. and the people that God has allowed us, Brother Gillett, you said it exactly right, win the one. And it's always about that one. It's always about that one. It's always about the next one. We had the privilege of this past week leading three to Christ. In fact, guys, this isn't, you know, when will I get to my message? I don't know, but this is the message, how God leads. But I will tell you that for the years that I pastored in Chickasha, Oklahoma, over 30 of those years, I was involved with one family. This is just an amazing thing to me. The accumulated times that I would do a funeral in this family's, they did not attend our church, but they needed a preacher. They needed some. And I knew this family, and I worked with this family. I loved this family, and we showed our love through the church from time to time to time. And even recently, in the last couple of years, I've officiated a couple of funerals of this family. I mean, very tragically, how probably an accumulated five members of this family that I've buried. Well, because of that, in the last month, we've had the privilege of Brother Steve Vellante and I on a Sunday afternoon went into this one home where God just gathered them all up at one time. Amen. And I'm telling you, it was a glorious Sunday afternoon to see about five people come to Christ out of this family. Amen. Then this last Sunday was privileged to lead two more to Christ. And we've seen all of these people baptized, and now they're all coming to church. It's a new day for them, but it took 30 years to yield fruit. You, gentlemen, it just takes time. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep plowing. Just keep doing what this message is all about. I am a nobody that God just touched his heart back when I was 17 years of age. I was saved when I was 11 years of age. And I'm that guy that I got into my high school years, and I love my pastor, Brother Jack York. I love the church. I love the fact that I got saved. There's nothing about my salvation I doubt, because I know I got saved. I know I accepted Christ at 11 years of age, and I'll never forget. I can rehearse the experience vividly in my mind, and every move I took from a pew to the altar and at the altar and my prayer and what happened there, and then my getting up off of my knees and realizing, guys, you're not saved by a feeling. But I'm going to guarantee you get saved, you're going to have a feeling. It's going to do something to you. And when I got up off my knees that Friday night of a revival meeting in Bible Baptist Church in 1967, September, an old cowboy preacher by the name of W.W. Baker was preaching in that. And I'll never forget the night I got saved. Then I was baptized on a Sunday night, and Brother Jack York, pastor then, baptized me. And I'll never forget the next day telling my buddies about getting saved. I was telling my neighborhood buddies. And in front of AC Brunt wanted his mother to know that I had gotten saved, dragged me up there. And then in front of his mother, he asked me this question: did you cry? I bawled like a baby. And I said, no. I'll never forget that first lie I made after my salvation. A dagger hit my heart, and I thought, why'd you say that? And I thought, well, I wasn't going to tell him I cried. And I'll never forget then. my high school years. And I just did not plug in. I just did not passionately follow Christ. But as anyone in this room will understand that's God's youngin', you're not going to get by with nothing. If you're His, you're going to have to make a choice. And 18 years of age, three words changed my life for serving Christ. Three words. I am walking across the campus of my high school, Chickasha High School, and I'm walking with my buddies who I can tell you it was not a godly environment. And I'm walking to my car, and I'm looking at a guy coming towards us. And I all I could think at that moment was, has this guy been in the military? Because he has on this, he's in blue and he's got this hat on and he's looking straight at me. Why me? And I'm kind of trying not to make eye contact with him. He comes straight up to me on the campus and he asked this question to me, three words: are you saved? I looked him straight in the eye in front of my friends, and I said, yes. And when I did that, my high school buddy, he hit me on the arm. He said, Hayes, what are you, a Jesus freak? And that was the moment the Holy Spirit of God just began to do a work in my heart, and I had to give an answer. I didn't hesitate about the answer of salvation, but I wasn't living like I was saved, and my buddies knew it. And when I answered that question that day, it changed everything. I went from there, and I was dating then my now wife for 43 years, and I never will forget we had our conversation. I said, we can't go on like this. We can't do this. Shirley was saved also at 11 years of age, but she was just not serving Christ either. We both got our hearts right with God. January of 1975, a brand new pastor at Bible Baptist Church, a guy by the name of Jesse Simon, he arrived his first Sunday sermon, and I never will forget, I did not go down to the altar because of Jesse Simon. It wasn't his, I don't remember the message that day, but the Holy Spirit of God had worked me over, crushed me, wrung me out, and by the end of that service, I went forward, and I never will forget praying a prayer that morning at an altar of prayer, the same altar that I had received Christ at 11, at 18 years of age, I'm on my knees, and I'm telling God, and I will share with you my prayer that morning. God, Lord, I want to be here every time the door is open. Didn't know what that meant that moment, but that was my vow. That was my prayer. Unusual prayer. I asked God forgive. I'd already settled that all about forgiveness and getting cleaned up, but I vowed a vow. I said, I want to be here every time the door's open. Now, I've told the church family since then this vow, and that's why they're stuck with me, I guess, because I said, I want to be here every time the door's open. So I guess that's why I became then the pastor. God just tapped me on the shoulder, and at 26 years of age, I surrendered to preach at 20 under Brother Jesse Simon. He said, Kim, if you'll just stick with me, he says, it'll be, and he just wanted me to train under him. And he said, I will tell you, I will pour into you. You know, he just promised me, and he did. He took me under his wing, mentored me. He said, and all I ever heard was, you're going to seminary instead of seminary. Yeah. So I trained under brother. I'm a homegrown guy. I'm that homegrown guy. And I stuck around there and hung around there and led the music, heisted the music, brother. You know? The story is just an unbelievable story. How I've just stayed there, just grew up there. It's the only church I've ever been a member of in my lifetime. I'm still there. I'm still hanging around. And loving, serving there. You know, there's so many God stories. I could just, in 37 years of pastoring, can you believe about 50 people voted on a Wednesday night to call me to be their pastor in November of 1982. I was 26 years of age. And they asked me to be their pastor. And men, I'm telling you, I just knew it to be God's will. That's all I knew. God wanted, he put me in the ministry. He did it. And from the beginning till June 30th of this past year, we were able to gather up a few folks. God did all this. I'm just like you, Brother Ty. I don't claim any of it. It's all God. It's a God story. If there's anything good, it's God. That's what I say. And how God gathered up a few folks in a place, obscure place called Chickasha, Oklahoma, Bible Baptist Church, over all these years, and then I get to have the privilege of just handing off to a premier. I call Brother Steve a premier servant of God that I've learned from. 16 years I've known Brother Steve. Met Brother Steve through a Byram mission. And I met him. You know how, I don't, okay. You know how I met him? I met him like this. This is the way God works, right? Brother Mike Patterson comes to our church. We were supporting the Pattersons for all these years. Brother Mike Patterson had been to Africa, and so he talks about Brother Steve Vellante. And when he talked about Brother Steve Vellante, he talked about also the leading of a king to Christ. And I'm just sitting there with my jaw dropped to the floor listening to this story. And after that story of the leading of the king to Christ in Ghana, West Africa, after that service, I told my secretary, I said, hey, send that guy $100, Steve Vellante. In my mind, it was a one time, right? My secretary, when she put that all in there, it became a repeating check every month. So that when I met Brother Steve Vellante at Mexico City, picking me up and my wife at the airport, this guy stuck out his hand and said, I'm Steve Vellante, missionary of God. I said, I'm Kim Hayes, Bible Baptist Church, Chickasha, Oklahoma. And Brother Steve said, you've been sending me a check. I've been looking forward to meeting you. I said, every month. I said, yeah, every month, yeah. Yeah. We just hit it off from that moment till now. And but that's how we actually met. I stumble into all of these things, and it's just like if you're looking up here, just look up here and go, hey, he reminds me of Mr. Magoo. Because that's about how I stumble into things with God. They're all God stories. They're all good things. I love it. I love the way that it turns out. When God has his hand on something, just hang on, because I feel like I'm just like one of those disciples that were around Jesus, you know. And can you imagine just beholding what he did? And it's always him. It's always him doing it. But if you're going to be faithful, let's just look at that word for a minute. Because what I've described to you is just a reflection of the moments and times that a man in Chickasha, Oklahoma, was faithful to the same God and the same Lord, Jesus Christ, that you're faithful to? What is the common denominator among all of us in this room? Being found faithful. What's the opposite of faithful? Unfaithful. Your choice, right? What do you want to be today? I've got all these verses ready to go, right? Got them ready to go. Just a root word, faith, right? But faithful is our part. Is he faithful to us?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, there hadn't been a moment. I haven't taken a breath since my salvation that he hadn't been faithful to me.
Amen.
Not one time. Never could I point a finger at my Lord and ever say he had been unfaithful to me. Never. But old Kim Hayes, man, I'm telling you, you're talking about a man sometimes lacking faith. You talk about sometimes, I identify with the disciples that were with Jesus when he looked at them and said, "Where is your faith?" Little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. How many times have I looked around going, "Man, my faith is weak." Weak faith. Faithless. Less faith or faithful. And I know the play on words. I know faithful has to do with dependability, trustworthy, and loyal. Would you like as an employee to have somebody that's trustworthy, dependable, and loyal? Huh? Would you like that? I think so. Faithful. Somebody faithful. Well, you know, in the Lord's work, he's just looking for faithful men. Men of faith. Men that will have a walk, which is a life. Your walk is your life. And you have gifts of the Spirit, but you have fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Now, fruit of the Spirit is common, and this is in every believer should be replicated, should grow in us. And that's the difference maker for us on this earth, planet earth. When people look at us, they see our faith. Yeah, because it's a life of faithfulness. It's somebody that's plugged in. Listen, the world is looking for faithful men. They need somebody that's going to step up and be the example to them. And so this group of men in this room, can we identify with being faithful? Faithful. This is a tremendous need. And what is Proverbs chapter? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20 and look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Where are you going to find a faithful man? Where are you going to find a trustworthy, dependable, and loyal man on this earth? Well, it's going to be somebody, obviously, since this is the mind of God, as Dr. Barber said, right? This is when we open this, we open the mind of God. I love that. And it's true. So in the mind of God, the question is asked, but a faithful man, who can find? Where are you going to find this guy? And this is what's so we're in a drought. I mean, there's a dearth, there's a drought in this world of faithful men. I still get calls. Guys, just yesterday before I come here, yesterday morning, I got a text that said, "Is this Pastor Hayes' number?" Well, you're always going, okay. So I responded, "Yes, it is. Who is this?" This lady, she's not a member of our church. She has never been a member of our church. She's a pastor's wife. after 40 years of marriage. She just happened to have his phone, and on his phone, so now she knows her husband is having an affair. Man, I just grieved after 40 years of ministry or marriage and about the same amount of time in ministry. And he's not pastoring. Thank the Lord for that right now. But it's still a sad situation. Can they survive this? Can they get through this? Can they? All the above, yes, but guys, it's a gut punch. It's just one of those moments where you go, and then I think, but by the grace of God, I'm every man in this room's human. Come on. I'm not gonna stand up here and say, I will never. I can't. We got examples of failure. You know, last night, Dr. Barber used the glowing examples and classic examples, he called them, of men of faith, right? And he went through that laundry list. Well, what about those examples of failures of faith? And who comes to your mind? Who comes to your mind? How about, I think a Lot. You know, Lot. If there were a beginning of perhaps, I would look at people who are saved who I guess are example, and you know, you're going to have examples in your lifetime. We've got Bible examples, but we also have life examples of people that are no longer or chose not to be faithful men. There goes Lot, well-watered plains, and man, he lost his wife, his family. I mean, just a lot of things there that Lot lost lots, right? We've got our messages and our titles, but it's true. I mean, he's a man of faith. We know that. He's a just man. But what a train wreck, right? And yet, they're in our lives too, and anybody in this room is a potential for a train wreck. Let's don't put ourselves out of that category yet. It ain't over till it's over. But so I've got Lot. Let's scratch our head. Who else? Oh, a guy by the name of David, maybe. Now, he's the apple of God's eye, I tell you, but that day he stayed home, right? That was not a moment of faithfulness. It just wasn't. When he looked on Bathsheba, and that moment is now in the pages of God's Word for all of us to learn from. For all of us to look at and go and take a big gulp, yes, sir, and understand the humanity of it all right there. Even a man passionately following God can deviate in a heartbeat, in a moment of temptation. And I'm looking at people, including myself, that temptation comes. Faithfulness is the question mark now. Where will it go? I love the life of Joseph. I've got good examples for me to think about from Scripture, right? And Brother Barber counted through some great examples for us. Go to the New Testament, I see a guy by the name of Demas. Right? Demas. See, I took a different road today in my thoughts. I thought, well, last night, Brother Barber, he hit on the good examples. And there are great examples for us. But then, be reminded, it can happen. I believe we still got clay feet, don't we? Still got them. But I hope you can hang on to something. I just, you know, there's something about this thought of faithful men. We got to hang on to this. We got to hang on. And we need encouragement this morning. We can give all kinds of Bible, and they're glaring examples to us of people that failed, right? People that fumbled the ball, people that fell in the ditch, people that messed up, okay? And it doesn't do our hearts any good. I'm no better than anybody else. I don't want to walk along and put my foot on somebody's neck and say, hey, you sorry outfit. Man. But it damages so many. It hurts. Repercussions, the ripple effect hurts. The hurt and the misery it just ripples out. But who can find this faithful man? Who can find him? A faithful man, who can find? We got to find this guy. Why? Because the world needs this example. The world needs somebody that'll stand up and be faithful, amen, utterly dependable, utterly loyal, utterly trustworthy. And somebody that's going to put their hand and not look back and just say, and so how long are you to be faithful? You got the how of faithfulness. You got the why of faithfulness. You got the when. Now, I mean, you can just, that's how I kind of developed this thought. And then, how long? How long? How long? So we've got today. Are you faithful? Hey, they got this new app on our phones now. You can download it. It's a faith meter. It actually, you can, for your members and for people you come around that claim to be saved, and it'll measure their faith. Did you know you can do that? Yeah, I got it on mine. And I'm going to try it on Brother Weaver right now. Huh? See, I've got that app now. It tells me, how much faith do you have? It's telling me right now. Now, there's no faith. That's silly, isn't it? There's no app like that. But the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells every believer's heart, He knows. He knows the guy standing up here better than anybody else in this room. He knows you. He knows every. There ain't nobody in this room going to shock God. You got it. He knows your thoughts, intents. He knows everything. Wow. How long? Revelation 2:10. Turn there. The way I like to say, we'll go to the house, but we're not going to the house, are we? Revelation 2:10. You know, this is the church at Smyrna, right? Man, they went through a bunch of Jesus. Dr. Barber said, I love the words of Jesus. Well, these are the words of Jesus. And look what he says about the membership, the church, by the way, of Smyrna. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And I just caught this. This really caught my attention. Be thou faithful. About how long? About how long are you going to be? About how long are you going to be faithful? What's that last phrase say? Now, I know that's to the church, the membership of the church. I don't think the expectation of the church at Smyrna, the membership, is any less than for everybody sitting in this room that's saved. So what are we going to hold on to? What are we going to think about? Well, I'd like to finish. Well, okay, guys, I got it this far. I pushed the cart for my Lord and whatever was in it and whatever he put in it and whatever he did with me pushing the cart. And and we gathered up some folks, and he did it, and I didn't, and he just used me. I was a tool in his toolbox, and that's all I am. I'm just a servant. You're just a servant. We're just doing this for him. He's taking real good care of us, isn't he? Woo! Man, he's good. And we're pushing that, and we're just doing what we can, but you're to do it till you quit doing that. That's coming too. Preview of coming events. We're all going to die. Death's coming. I'll promise you, we will lay it down. We'll no longer push the cart here. Now, I kind of like the idea of Abel, you know. Scripture says, he being dead yet speaketh. His life. You know, we're still speaking about Abel. I don't know if anybody's going to want to talk about me or use me. I hope it's all one of those deals where somebody gets up and says, oh, you remember Brother Hayes was this? Instead of, oh, man, he just. Go around Chickasha, Oklahoma, go to a restaurant. Hey, Brother Hayes, how you doing? What's retirement like? How you? And they just, man, they're just doting over me, and I. You know how easy, you know how quickly that could change? Boom. To a conversation. Oh, I can't believe he did. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? So all I'm trying to do is just kind of help you understand. You're going to have to finish some way. Why don't you finish good? Why don't you just decide today, okay, I pushed that cart. I think I'm doing okay. I think I've done okay. You know, in our estimation, we think we have. Of course, the record's going to be when we stand before our Lord. That's where it's all going to come to reality. And by the way, you're not going to heaven to get a spanking. How about that? All the spankings are right here. What you're going to go is review the record. What'd you do for him? And it's loss, reward, or reward. But it has to do, were you faithful? That's what it has to do with. Amen. Were you faithful? Amen. To him. To him. Were you trustworthy, loyal, and dependable? And the Lord could take you and take your little cart and you go push it here or there for him. That's all you're doing. Amen. We're not doing anything more special. Nobody, I don't care who you are in this room. Everybody's doing the same. I like what Brother Bill Patterson just shared with me. He talked to me about a personal issue, and he said about a certain individual, he said that they're a chosen vessel. Hello? I'm looking at chosen vessels in this room. Nobody's any less than anybody else. My brother's from Mexico, from Latin American countries. You're an equal. No one's better, no one's less. Because you're in America, because you're here, we welcome you. But we're just brothers. We're just the most fortunate people to know who Jesus is, and we're just on our way to heaven together. Amen. He has us. He has some there. He has some in Ghana. He has some over here. He has some, and he's got some over in Chickasha, Oklahoma. And I get to get my little Ford pickup with 147,000 miles, and I get to head back north to God's country. God's been good. Let's be faithful. Let's choose. This is a choice we make. This is our choice. You gonna find a faithful man? Aren't you? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to stand before our Lord.